Our second scripture today is Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, and 11 through 31. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, and you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of earth. For dogs are all around me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They bind my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O God, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters, my siblings. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear God, praise God. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify God. Stand in awe of God, all you offspring of Israel. For God did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. God did not hide their face from me, but heard when I cried out to God. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear God. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek God shall praise God. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to God, and all the families of the nations shall worship before God. For dominion belongs to God, and God rules over the nations. To God indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before God shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for God. Posterity will serve God. Future generations will be told about God and proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that God has done it. We celebrate the written word of Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
We celebrate the living word, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Loving God, you are with us in the whole of life, the ups and the downs, whether we rise on the wings of the dawn, whether we cry out to you from the depths. You are there, you are here. Be with us now as we gather around your word. Open our hearts that we might embody your love for all creation. Amen. Jesus prayed the Psalms. Of course he did. We've talked about how the Psalms are the songs of a people, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. The Psalms were written over an expanse of time out of the experience of a community living life with God. They sing the memory of slavery and freedom and wilderness wandering. They sing the experience of exile and longing and return, and also of planting and harvest and celebration. The Psalms sing the whole of life, life lived by a people, together over time. This is how we have experienced God across the whole of life from generation to generation. Jesus prayed the Psalms. Jesus sang the Psalms. He was, after all, a good Jewish boy. The Gospel of Luke gives us a few glimpses of his childhood. On the eighth day after he's born, Jesus is brought to the temple and circumcised according to the tradition written in the law. Every year, his parents take him to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and Luke tells us of that time the young Jesus wandered off only to be found among the teachers of the law, listening and asking them questions. And when he begins his ministry, Jesus goes to a synagogue, unrolls the scroll, and reads from Isaiah. Good news to the poor, release for the captive, freedom for the oppressed. We get glimpses throughout the Gospels. Jesus was immersed in the traditions of the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus prayed the Psalms. Jesus sang the Psalms. They were the songs he knew by heart. Now, when we come to the Psalms, the Hebrew Scriptures, as Christian readers, there is some complexity. Within our traditions, there is an approach to the Psalms that looks to the Psalms and reads Christ back into them, that hears the resonances and says, this is how the Psalms were always pointing us to Christ. That is a long-standing approach across the breadth of our tradition. You can pick up the earliest strands of it, I think, even in the Gospel of Matthew. I was trained in a somewhat different approach, as were a number of preachers who you've heard preach in this space. My training and one of my passions is to approach the Hebrew Scriptures first and fundamentally as Hebrew texts. We do that thing we do where we read these ancient texts that come down to us through the generations from an ancient culture so different from our own that feels so strange to us, and we listen for a word for today. We listen to what our siblings back then had to say about how they experienced God in their world, in their lives, all the trouble, all the grace, and we take them seriously. We take them seriously, and then we think of where we might see God's loving, gracious work like that today in our world and in our lives. So for the Psalms, we listen for what those songs might have meant, sung out of the context of slavery and freedom, of wilderness wandering, of exile and return, and of all the life lived between. We hear their longing. We take it seriously. And also, as those who follow Christ, we have come to hear that same deeply human longing and God's loving action also expressed in the experience of Jesus Christ. There is resonance and continuity. And at the same time, we don't want to lose what each testament has to say to us, the life each has to sing. Jesus cries out from the cross. The cry of lament he knew from Psalm 22. Both that psalm and that moment on the cross plunge us into the depths of human experience. They take us down into the pit. The psalmist doesn't hold back. Those first words of the psalm arrest us. They stand us still. They're meant to do the same to God. God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmist's pain couldn't be more intense, more vivid. Bulls surround them, snarling with open mouths like a ravenous lion. The psalmist feels it in their body. Their bones are out of joint. Their life poured out like water. Their heart melts like wax. Their mouth dried out with the dust of death. We don't know precisely what the psalmist's peril is, but their tormentors surround them like a pack of dogs. They bind the psalmist up, they cast lots, and divide up the psalmist's clothing. God is nowhere to be found, there is no one to help, and so the psalmist cries out what is not only a cry of pain, but what also is essentially a challenge to God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmist challenges God, here I am in my pain, God, and you are my God. So what will it be? Will you be God or not? On the cross, it is the psalmist's cry that wells up in Jesus, and with his voice, Jesus joins and embodies the lament. We know his suffering. Just after his Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus is betrayed, arrested, and abandoned by all of his friends. He is tried, bound up, and beaten. His tormentors strip him, crucify him, and cast lots to divide up his clothing. As he hangs there on the cross, those who pass by hurl insults at him. And as this morning's gospel text opens up, Jesus cries out with a lament that opens Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus enters into the lament not only of the psalmist, but of all those who have gone before. The lament of everyone who has ever cried out from the suffering of being bound up or pushed down, abandoned, far from the places and the people we call home, broken in spirit, aching in our bodies, the suffering of all those, as Howard Thurman puts it, whose backs are up against the wall. Jesus enters the lament, embodies it in his body and in his voice. All that suffering is right there with Jesus on the cross. Both the psalm and Jesus' words from the cross plunge us into the depths of human experience, or maybe yet they meet us there in the pit. But neither of them leaves us there. Did you notice that in the psalm? The psalmist cries out again and again, God, do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help. Come, deliver, save. But then there's a shift. Something has happened. The psalmist has been crying out utterly alone, and suddenly there the psalmist is singing in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of community. Something has happened. For God did not despise the affliction of the afflicted, the psalmist sings. I will sing to my sisters, my brothers, my family. And the song goes out to all the ends of the earth, to all the families of all the nations. Even those who sleep in the earth join the song, those who have come before. And then even those yet to be born, the poor will eat and be satisfied. God has done it. Something has happened. The psalmist's lament becomes a song that the whole world sings. In the gospel reading, something has happened on the cross too. As Jesus cries out and breathes his last breath going out into the world of suffering, the world of oppression and power over comes crashing down. The temple curtain is torn in two, the earth shakes, the rock splits. The Roman soldiers watching in their imperial armor see all this and say, surely he was the Son of God and not Caesar. This is the end of the old order. The end of everything that does us harm, of every power over, of every system that harms and hurts. This is the moment that Jesus announced at the very beginning. The very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, do you remember way back in January when we talked about the Beatitudes? At the very beginning of his ministry, in the midst of the old crumbling order, Jesus announces a brave new world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn and cry out, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers and not the tormentors, for the peacemakers will be called children of God. The crumbling old order has done its worst, and as that old world dies, a new world comes to life. Jesus births it on the cross. As Jesus breathes out his last breath, all creation breathes it in and comes to life. I've never noticed that moment before that Maureen read, where it says that the tombs break open and the holy people who had gone before are raised to life. Right then, as Jesus has died on the cross, the first glimpse of this new world, this new creation, Jesus brings to the cross the cry that opens Psalm 22, and with it, all the suffering. But Jesus doesn't bring just the first verse. He brings the whole psalm. This song he knew by heart, the depth of human suffering, our suffering, the cry for presence, the nearness of God, and the new song that the whole world sings, those who have gone before, those living now, and those still yet to come. As we've traveled through this summer of the Psalms, think of the people we have met along the way. Think back to Juneteenth, to the enslaved people of Texas as word of liberation finally arrives with the power to back it up. All those who have been enslaved are now free. Think of the exiles long ago, taken captive to a strange land, who have hung up their harps in the tree. As word finally comes, it is time to come home, and their mouths are filled with laughter and their tongues with songs of joy. Think back to Pride, as the LGBTQIA+ community for far too long pushed back into the confines of the closet, ventures out into the streets, singing the songs that we too know by heart loudly and proudly. Think of the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized who hear in the Psalms God's word for them. Think of all those who have said yes to the nearness of God. God, you have searched me and you know me. You knitted me together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I rise on the wings of the dawn, when I cry out to you from the depths, you are there. Think of those moments when we cry out and realize we are not alone. Think of those moments when we glimpse the goodness of God planted more deeply than all that is wrong. Those are the songs. Those are the songs the Psalms sing to us and in us again and again. Those are the songs of this brave new world. I wish I had a story that could wrap all this up. Out of all the stories that have been written and sung and lived, of all the stories of how we have cried out and then come to encounter God, some story for today. But I've come to realize that there's only one story that will do. In the deep dawn of the third day, when Jesus' cry from the cross has given way to silence, the women come to the tomb bewildered and bereft, and the earth shakes again. The heavens open, and a fiery angel comes, rolls the stone away from the tomb, and tells them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus, but he is not here in the tomb. He has risen, just as he said, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and he will meet you there." And Jesus does meet them there. And the one who had cried out on the cross, now in the bright morning of this new day, says to them, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Both the psalm and the gospel invite us to be honest about our pain and to say it plain and to not hold back. The psalm invites us in that lament to draw near to God and near to each other. The gospel invites us out of that lament to live this brave new world and to live it now together. Together, the psalm and the gospel bring us up out of the pit and into the broad expanse of life where we stand and sing together the song that comes to us in the dawn of a brand new day.